George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, has had a love for TV shows for years, but what would happen if that became a reality? And whatever happened to the skeleton crew? We have some details. Welcome to Star Wars Uplink, your place for everything Star Wars gaming, the TV shows, and the movies. Let's jump in.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him.
There's some rumblings going on in the Star Wars community recently, and we'll see how much stock we want to put into it. But I do want to at least entertain the idea for entertainment purposes only. What if George Lucas returned to Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some more recent rumblings. There has been more of official statements from George Lucas many years ago after the purchase of Lucasfilm by Disney. He wasn't too hot about it. He actually had to go back and apologize and make everything right because of that. And he's honestly been paying for those statements for quite some time, or at least Disney has. George Lucas doesn't care. He's on a beach somewhere. Perfectly fine. But this new story here. Roger Christian, who is an English set director and production designer, as well as an assistant director, and basically kind of art directed a lot of big films like Alien as well as Star Wars. He said this when talking to Star Wars Theory about George Lucas returning to the franchise. Quote, "I think he's coming back. You know, I'm pretty sure now that he's doing a series. I think they're now bringing him into the fold, from what I hear, because there's a Star Wars live-action series coming. More than likely, this is like 90% never going to happen."
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to talk about that 10% of like, what if? Because I just finished reading the George Lucas biography, and there's a whole statement, or there's a whole section on like the later years of Lucasfilm and his involvement there. And he mentions actually wanting to get into the television space many times and wanting to do more artistic things, which ended up he didn't necessarily do.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of like went on to a beach, which is perfectly fine.
Well earned.
But I want to talk about the what if. What if George Lucas returned to Star Wars? What would that look like? And what would it look like in terms of a live action series? And first off, I want to talk about the realistic way that he could return to Star Wars. He could literally just dress up and play a character in Star Wars.
That's true, yeah.
And that would technically be him returning to Star Wars. He could be just a cameo.
Yeah.
He's done it in the past. He's had his kids in the movies as well, so it's possible. I think he was painted blue in one of the prequel movies and was in the background. So,
oh my gosh.
There's precedent for this.
Okay. Another way could probably be just with him just having a little bit of say, I guess, or like just being on like the creative boards to be
it is possible.
Helping push some different stories. I'm hesitant to say that though, but I don't really see how else he could fit into it without just like totally taking the reins.
Mm-hmm. He specifically said in that original statement that Disney/Lucasfilm at that time didn't necessarily want him to be in that situation because he would not want to do a nostalgia film.
Mm.
He wanted to do something entirely new and go in a direction that they hadn't quite gone into. And Disney wanted to do something else. They wanted to go more of the nostalgia side of things to get that involvement back. Who could say what the right situation or decision would have been? But Lucasfilm has been leading heavily into the nostalgia bait side of things to lessening success each time. Mm-hmm. But there's potential there. I do like what you're saying of how he could just be kind of like a piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he could even direct an episode of a live action series without necessarily having the control over the whole script. Do I think that's realistic? Probably not. He's actually said many times, and Francis Ford Coppola was one of the people that put him onto this idea of like, if you don't have control of the writing, you don't necessarily have control.
Period.
Even though George Lucas kind of like despised writing, he learned to do it to kind of put forward his vision in more totality. There's many different pieces there, but I do want to ask you, like, what would you like to see in a George Lucas involved in whatever way you want him to be live action series?
I would love just to have him throw something kind of new into the mix, especially for Star Wars.
No returning characters.
Right.
Just George Lucas adding something to Star Wars.
Uh-huh. Just giving us a new spin or just something for us to, like, run with. Like, it doesn't have to be him all the way through. It could just be like, here's a start.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? Sort of thing.
Well, J.J. Abrams is famous for doing exactly that with the with the Lost series on TV. Damon Lindelof was like the big person with that show. And J.J. Abrams literally just like was there for some of the ideation. He was an executive producer, but I think he only directed the pilot episodes and kind of was just touching in at various points. Most of that was like Damon Lindelof and the rest of the Lost team. So J.J. Abrams is like most known for the thing that he is like least involved with, which I think is hilarious. But there's potential for that, for him to kind of like set the scene for a TV series and then kind of step back for it and just be an executive producer. But he is also the largest individual stockholder of Disney stock. So if he wants to do anything, Disney kind of has to let him do that.
Yep.
And that's why he's kind of changed his tune over the years in terms of his perception of Hollywood as a whole, because he was very much anti-establishment, anti-big company. Yeah. And now he's part of and the biggest owner in the largest entertainment company. So you kind of got to make your bed and sleep in it at this point, George.
Yeah. Pick a side here, buddy.
Uh-huh. Something to throw in the fold here.
Yeah.
Is that he was working on a Star Wars Underworld series. So this is something that there's been tons of rumblings on. A lot of concept art came from that. He wanted to do a Star Wars Underworld series set on Coruscant. And that was something that many fans were excited about. And it's been rumored forever. It's in the kind of similar boat of 1313 as like a video game. Yep. Similar in style and feel and that kind of thing. And I think it was around the time frame where he wanted everything to be about Boba Fett's origin story. And eventually it became like Boba Fett was going to be a part of that series in some form or fashion.
That would be really intriguing. Like, I think this guy still has good things to give Star Wars.
The entertainment industry as a whole has George Lucas to thank for basically how the industry works at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He changed how movies were made in various aspects. He dragged the entire industry into the digital age, built up the strongest CGI and effects studio that has ever been created. They set the standard for effects in Hollywood. He built up one of the biggest franchises in entertainment. The dude knows what he's about and also is very much like film art auteur. Like that was like very early days. He just wanted to like point a camera at things and make super artsy films without any story,
wow.
Which carried over partly when you look at the prequels in many ways and even the original trilogy. But that's besides the point.
Yeah. George Lucas is always going to be such a strong key to Star Wars. I would love to hear what he has to say about what they're doing to Star Wars now.
Uh-huh. His ex-wife has a lot to say about that.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. Get her on and interview her. Come on.
Marsha, anytime you want, come on the podcast.
But yeah, it would be really interesting to just to see what he would bring to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we are kind of in that nostalgia bait moment for Star Wars. We are starting to see some new things, but it would just be really fascinating to see if and what and if he would bring to what we have now.
Yeah.
And what he would suggest as like, here's a new story or here's what I want to see in Star Wars. Like, it would just be so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be something outside of the Mandoverse because I don't think he could piece into the Mandoverse. That's so much tied to Legends, which as a thing he didn't agree with. He just thought anything that's canon is from George Lucas and everything else is not canon. No matter what you want to believe with Legends, that's how it works. And honestly, that's kind of how it should work. If George Lucas is the creator of Star Wars, everything else is basically fan fiction set in that same world. So that's kind of the realm that he lived in with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'd have to be something outside of the Mandoverse time period. And honestly, we haven't seen anything new in Star Wars. Like, if you really think about it, except for Rogue One and Andor. Those are the only things that have net new characters in Star Wars from scratch. All of the sequel trilogy of movies, they have characters from the original trilogy. All of the Mandalorian and the Mandalorian spinoffs have characters from other things. Mm-hmm. Andor and Rogue One are the only ones that have net new characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to look at when we see the potential that Star Wars has as a whole. There is potential there for new characters and new stories, but you just got to have someone willing to do that. And maybe George Lucas is that person. Again, I don't think that this is ever going to happen, but it would be really awesome if it did.
I saw in the article, he was like, yeah, every decade it gets a little bit more like testy about if I'm going to make it to the next decade. Yeah.
I think he's 79. I think he's 79. So he's close to 80. And he said that when he was 70. So he's almost there.
Yep. Well, hey. It's really interesting because Star Wars is in this, it's taken over by his prodigy, Dave Filoni. Mm-hmm. So it would be kind of strange for the original guy to come back and be like, okay, you had your time in the sun or something. Hang on, I'm going to come back in here and step on your toes and get in everyone's way.
But money talks. If Bob Iger says, hey, yo, George, what would be great is to boost up Disney Plus sales. You come back, you do this thing, because they're kind of dwindling right now. We haven't actually paid for the amount of money we spent on Lucasfilm yet, so come over here, make something. It'd be great. But that's just a possibility. It's probably never going to happen. It's fun to talk about, though.
Yeah.
But what is exciting to talk about that will happen, hopefully, at some point, it seems to be finished. People have seen it. Star Wars Skeleton Crew.
Ah,
this is something I saw a trailer for at Star Wars Celebration, and it was super awesome. It looked very much in terms of like Goonies, Amblin, like classic Lucasfilm child story, but is bigger than just that. And I really enjoyed the small minute-long trailer that I saw. It's very different from a lot of the things that we've seen in Star Wars, going back to what we were just talking about of like net new characters and net new stories. This has the potential for it. The amount of firepower in terms of the casting and the crew, the directors that they have on board for this series is just like the who's who of the last like probably 5 to 10 years of great filmmaking. Everything Everywhere All at Once, the directors of that, directors of The Green Knight, and Bryce Dallas Howard. Many others are a part of this project, but we haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out already, I believe.
Really?
But we haven't seen anything. It was originally slated for last year. It was supposed to come out before...
Oh.
It was rumored to come out before Ahsoka.
Right.
Or following closely after Ahsoka. That ended up not happening. This year we have Star Wars Acolyte that's coming out in June. We've got the May the 4th Tales of the Empire series. So there is still that block at the end of the year.
Right.
Which is what people are now theorizing it will be.
It's so odd for them to hold something that seems to be potentially finished.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they're holding this one in the wings. I mean, it's no small production. I mean, Jude Law's the big name in that. Why haven't we seen anything? I don't think I've seen a trailer.
No, there hasn't been an official trailer. The one I saw was unofficial and we weren't allowed to record it or anything like that. But
what are they holding out on us for?
Who knows? There's a variety of topics, but it seems like it was completed much further in advance than Acolyte was. But they just decided that, hey, Acolyte, let's do this first. The interesting thing about Skeleton Crew is it's theoretically set around the same time as Ahsoka, which is also around the same time as Mandalorian Season 3. So it's in this Mandoverse time frame. and it ties into going into like wild space.
Gotcha.
In theory, it's a group of kids that steal the ship. They get lost in it. They stumble upon a force user. Jude Law's character ends up being a Jedi. And they are trying to make their way back to their home planet with various subplots around that. But that's generally the story that we have here. But in terms of the new stuff around Skeleton Crew, we do have an interview of someone who's involved in the project in some form or fashion. So this comes from Carrie Condon, who spoke to Variety and was asked about Skeleton Crew. Quote, "It's so great. I don't even have kids, but I'd pay to see this. I loved it. I loved being on it. There was something about it that was so innocent and playful and lovely. People say don't work with kids or animals, but I don't know about that. And also, when children are good actors, they're kind of out of this world good. So watching some of these kids' scenes, it was amazing. Jude Law's in it, and I've worked with him before, but it's really adventurous, and they got such great directors for each episode. The Daniels, Bryce Dallas Howard, Lee Isaac Chung, David Lowery. It was a pretty amazing group. And of course, John Watts, who created the whole thing." This has me so excited for this series. I'm personally a big fan of the weird, wacky side of Star Wars. I want them to experiment. I want them to fill the gaps of this massive canvas rather than going and repainting the same things over and over again. I don't want the galaxy to be small. I want to see a variety of stories. That's why I personally loved Andor. I love seeing the breadth that Star Wars had, not the kids of Anakin and Luke and their kids and their cousins and this person and that person. It makes the galaxy feel small. And I think this has the potential to show, hey, actually, there's more to Star Wars than just this one family. There's more to Star Wars than just these characters doing these heroic things. There are other characters doing other heroic things all across the galaxy that might not have as much of an impact. That's what I love about these kinds of things. So that's why I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this innocent side of Star Wars.
Yes.
This more playful side of Star Wars. I think there's a real need for this kind of a thing. So that's what I'm excited to see. It's just how they mesh Star Wars with the Star Wars that we know so far with something as playful as kids in Star Wars. You know, like, I feel like they've been kind of doing stuff like that for kids' shows.
Yeah, like Bad Batch.
Sure.
And there's the young Jedi.
Kind of Bad Batch. Maybe earlier Bad Batch. Maybe not last season.
But there's like the young Jedi adventure show.
Right, yeah.
That kind of
That's
stuff.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But this is more. This is like a family, I want to say film, but it's series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also something, I was listening to a podcast today. They're talking about Star Wars. They're not as enriched or ingrained into the Star Wars community as we are and as everyone that's watching this is. They're just casual fans. And one of them was like, "I'm so sick of keeping up with that person and this person. I've never watched Rebels. I've never watched Clone Wars. And Ahsoka sucked.
Ooh,
I didn't know what was going on. Lots of things happened, but nothing happened." When you have these shows, I think it's okay to have moments that are just for Star Wars fans. But if you want them to be successful, you need to have them be self-contained. You need to have this thing where it stands on its own. It's not banking on the fact that you've seen 5 seasons of another show or 4 seasons of another show in Rebels' case. And all of the Clone Wars and all of this. And then you have Book of Boba Fett, which really threw a wrench in the plan of like, oh yeah, that really like deep character moment that they had at the end of season 2. Well, if you just watch The Mandalorian, seasons 1, 2, and 3, by the time you get to the third one, something's different here.
We missed a chunk.
Oh yeah, you have to watch Boba Fett to get that idea.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the potential is for
something
this show, like
this.
Skeleton Crew, like it's not standing on, you don't have to know about Ahsoka. You don't have to know about The Mandalorian. You just have to care about these kids. You get to learn about these kids. You get to learn about Jude Law in the span of the show.
Right.
And it's going to stand on that. It may have references. It may have pieces. It's going to be set in the Star Wars galaxy that we know. In theory, Wild Space might be the location where it's set, but it's in the Star Wars universe. And that's what's going to be the main focus, mm-hmm. telling a different story there.
I'll be very curious, especially with how much they're pushing it off. I'm very interested to see if there's this timeline is going to be trying, if they're trying to affect it, mm-hmm. you know? Like if they're trying to shove it into a specific time frame, like where they're trying to build up Ahsoka to try and make it fit into that so that they can...
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a kid's show. It's a family show. Okay. It's about kids and this like held thing. I don't think this ship is going to be tied to anything within Ahsoka.
Okay.
It just happens to be around the same time frame.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's the experiment that they're doing. I'm not sure, but I don't think that we're going to see like, oh, if you look closely, there's Ahsoka's ship in the background, which right. makes it this time frame. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually don't know when this is set, yeah. except for, like, if you look in the background, there's that specific starship cruiser that was only used during this time frame. Like, that might be as specific as they get.
I actually hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't want them tying it into, like, Thrawn or something grand. Like, it doesn't need to be that. Let's just have a nice little yeah. show that we can all just get behind and be like, that was great.
Mm-hmm. No, I would love to see that. And hopefully it does well, because I'd love to see more of stuff like that mm-hmm. In the future. I hope that the movies are like the place for the big changes in the galaxy, the general audience. And then they use the rest of the TV shows and Disney Plus to just like experiment, see what works, see what doesn't work. Paint with various colors across the galaxy without having to like have everything tied together like something like Marvel was. I think we're all burnt out on the Marvel experience. Marvel did it great. I don't think anything else can or should go that route. They need to find their own identities.
Agreed.
But let us know your thoughts on this theory. Would you like to see George Lucas return? What would you like to see if he did return? And are you excited for Skeleton Crew? Let us know in the comments below. Or contact uplinkpodcast.com if you are listening to it wherever you find podcasts. As always, thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.